The idea of string quartets conjures up the aura of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven. This elegant vehicle for intimate communion, introduced in the latter part of the 18th century, enjoyed a real evolution during the 19th and the 20th centuries, too, and proved itself uncommonly versatile and emotionally compelling. Pulitzer Prize-winning American composer George Crumb had never before written for a string quartet when he created his Black Angels, 13 Images from the Dark Land. And though you'll hear nothing of Beethoven or Haydn or Mozart in this piece, Crumb did build upon a prized tradition and adapted it with uncanny originality. It is not classical in structure, nor romantic in the usual sense, not even impressionistic with perfumed sweetness, but there is a beauty to this music, despite all of its modernity, that is simply extraordinary. Members of the Moreau Quartet, violinists Daniel Ching and Noah Bendix Balgley, violist John Largesse, and Joshua Gindel, cellist, introduce us to the world of George Crumb and his Black Angels.
Black Angels is one of those rare pieces in the string quartet repertoire that we actually really take our instruments and use them in ways no one had really imagined could be used before. George really pioneered the use of traditional instruments, whether it be string instruments or piano or all these other instruments. In some of his works he uses a saw with a blade and you can bow it. And in this particular work, the string quartet plays in some traditional manners, but then also uses other things. We play, we pluck our strings with paper clips while fingering the fingerboard with a glass rod that we commandeered from the medical department or the chemistry department at our university. The second violin, Noah and Josh, get to bow with their bows Chinese gongs to make creepy kind of. They use this sound, and I always remember this sound coming from the George C. Scott movie, Christmas Carol. That sound is very prominent in this quartet. We bow with our bows. We bow wine glasses to make the sounds of angels during the God music and the cello solo. Really, all these techniques are not for the technique's sake, but really for a powerful, powerful piece of music.
Another thing that's special about this piece is the score is itself a work of art. It's an oversized score, and we all read from the score. We don't have our separate parts. The way he put it together is very, very beautiful in and of itself. Part of the fun thing about it is that a lot of modern music incorporates extended techniques, such as the ones used in Black Angels, but few of them do it so well that it actually has a musical and emotional effect. Often it's just sort of for the sake of something new or different. And in this piece, the techniques and the sounds that we create out of these are really used very, very well, and I think make a real powerful statement with the piece.
Ice! Flood! Flood!
It's in three sections. He used a lot of numerology in the work, so the numbers 3, 7, and 13 appear quite often, not only in the musical setting, in that some sections last 13 seconds or 3 seconds, but we also chant in various languages and always end up on one of those three numbers. But it's really almost an arch form, in sort of a sense like a Bartok would have done, in that material keeps reappearing throughout the piece. It's sort of like a question being answered at the end. It's pretty spectacular pacing of a work and how he manages to spread out these techniques Daniel was speaking of in a way that creates a real emotional journey through the piece. It's really exceptional. And it's amazing that it is now one of the landmark works of the string quartet literature, because when he wrote it, first off, he didn't intend to make such an impact with what he was writing, and he didn't intend to make such a statement. It was written during the Vietnam War. But as he started to hear the sounds that he was creating, it brought, I think, that idea closer to home, the idea of war and Vietnam in particular. But the piece has really stood the test of time and still sounds modern to this day. And it's almost 40 years old now.
What's fascinating is that when we worked with George on this piece, he said that he had been told by many people that his music reminded them most of playing Mozart of all the great composers. And in a way, I think that is very true, because in the way that Mozart is about simplicity, about tiny details, subtlety, color, and the emotion that's often behind a Mozart movement is belied by the few notes. There's a lot of emotion, but often very few notes. His music, too, has a lot of meaning, a lot of emotion, a lot of statement, but a lot of silence, a lot of soft, delicate playing, a lot of subtlety to it, as well as a few moments where we're playing triple, triple, quadruple fortissimo as loud as we possibly can and screaming, but most of the piece is quite soft. And that emotional journey that the audience goes on while listening to this piece from beginning, the departure section, to the center of the piece, the absence section, and then through the kind of transformation and rebirth of the return section, in a way it is a very delicate, very subtle, very powerful and inner experience to listen to this piece.
You can listen to a complete performance of this remarkable score by George Crumb, Black Angels, 13 Images from the Dark Land, as played by the Miroux Quartet, on our website at Classical Minnesota Public Radio. Search for Black Angels.